Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Greetings, trashlings, and welcome back to Space Trash Lifestyles of the Rich and Uranus. My name is Molly Malshine.
I'm Sarah Armour.
And we're here to bring you all the good news this week. We have so much to go through. We've got a new royal baby. We've got a JoJo overdose. We've got Alec Baldwin.
That is such a funny, I love JoJo overdose. When I read that in the doc this morning, I was like, wow, she's good. Wow, she's good.
I'm happy for JoJo. We'll get into it. We've got Alec and Hilaria's parenting podcast. We've got a real life Illuminati meeting. We've got some Trump conspiracy theories. And then we're going to talk about the mayor of Easttown ending.
Yes, I'm so glad you watched. We can finally discuss.
Yeah, I have so much to say about the classism inherent in this production.
No, I have been waiting for you. Because remember when you were here, I was like, have you been watching? And you were like, no. I'm so glad that you had this like forced quarantine to catch up, because I'm dying to talk about this with you.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited. We'll get to it. Okay, so this baby, Lilibet Diana Mountbatten Windsor. She was born on June 4th, 11:40 a.m., Santa Barbara Cottage Hospital, California, which is a really cute hospital. What do you think about the name before we get into her birth chart?
Well, so I want everybody listening to know that I am not as up on the royals as my dear co-host Molly is. So my first thought was, oh, that's cute. They named her Lil Di. Like, she's just Lil Di. And, you know, they're just trying to take the name and say, you know, we're, you know, Diana in the house. She's Lil and she's back, you know. But then you told me that, wait, so say it again. What is William's daughter's name?
William's daughter's name is Charlotte Elizabeth Diana.
Okay, so, and then this baby is
effectively Elizabeth Diana.
But so it's basically the same name, except that they used a quote unquote nickname for Elizabeth instead of Elizabeth.
Right, and so the thing that's interesting about this is the name Lilibet was a name that no one else called the queen. Everyone who called the queen that is dead now. Like, and Prince Philip was the last one. No one else was close enough to her to use that nickname. So, of course, some of Meghan and Harry's detractors are saying, you know, they're taking something that is so intensely personal, and now it's going to be on the top 20 U.S. baby name lists for the next 10 years, which is very true. It's going to start a trend.
I like it. I mean, I got to say, my grandmother is Barbara, but everybody calls her Babs. And if I ever were to have a child, if she's no longer here and I have a child, Jews don't name people after people who are still alive. It's bad luck. But once somebody croaks, it's fair game. But I always felt like if I did have a daughter and I was going to name her after anybody, it would be my grandmother, but it would be Babs.
So what can you tell us about Lilibet Diana's? So, and it sounds like a little bit Diana.
That's hilarious.
She's a little bit Diana, and but she lives in California. Oh, what a great song that would be.
Little bit Diana in California. Diana. I don't know. That was a riff. I mean, I'm not a musician, but you could take it if you're listening.
It would be like a really cute little like modern day Beach Boys song. But so I feel like Little Bit Diana Lilibet is the queen's name. They are very much saying, we are still part of the royal family. Make no mistake about it.
And yes, they are.
Yeah.
And actually, I think they kind of are. It's weird to have it. It seems like this is a little bit of a a competitive move with our boy Willie. Like, Harry's like, oh, they fucked up putting Charlotte first because now it's really our baby. It's like they like tried to like cut in line in terms of baby names, like, because Charlotte now is Charlotte, but she's still Elizabeth Diana.
Right.
But she's Charlotte. Whereas these, you know, these two are like, you know what, fuck it, we're cutting right to the chase and we're cutting Elizabeth into the nickname. We are so intimately close to this fit. You know what I mean? Like, it's like a, it's such a, to me, it's such a competitive, I mean, the daughters essentially have the same name, except one doesn't have a first name that identifies her completely. And the Elizabeth part is just like nickname, but otherwise it's the same fucking name.
It is the same name. And the thing is, we all knew they were not going to let her not have the middle name Diana. Like, there was no possible way that that wasn't going to happen. And the thing is, if you put Diana in but not the queen's name in, then that's like a major snub for the queen.
I would guess that that's, if I was going to put money on it, I would have guessed that that's what they would have done. I'm surprised that they incorporated the queen.
Now, this is a hot take. I don't think they would have if they were still on the payroll.
Right. Now they're trying to prove something. This is like a guilt name.
Yeah, because look at the first kid, Archie Harrison. He has, like, Archie came from nowhere. It's adorable. It's a really...
Oh, but isn't Archibald something?
It's not. There aren't really any royals named Archibald, and his name's not Archibald. His name's Archie.
Oh my God, I love that. Oh, yes. They didn't. So they love nicknames. These
they
people,
love nicknames as names.
This is Meg and Hare. And Archie and Lil.
And Archie's middle name is Harrison, which is derived from Harry's son, which is like, okay, sure.
Oh my God, that's like in what was that movie, I Know What You Did Last Summer, where the big reveal is like Willis, Ben's son. The two last names were Willis and Benson, and the big reveal is Will is Ben's son.
I don't remember that.
I love Harry's son is like, oh my God, you guys.
Yeah.
So on the nose.
Right. That's the thing. All their names are very on the nose. But also, so are William and Kate's names, because all of William and Kate's names are recycled royal names. They're all literally names that we've seen before 900 times. But
and I feel like Kate walked, like, from birth, like, there's no, like Megan of whatever. But, like, Catherine, if you are in the UK right now and you're trying to figure out what to name your child so that she has a shot at being in that queen chair someday, Catherine is such a safe bet.
Right. And her sister's name is Philippa, after Prince Philip. Like, her whole family is like, they've been.
They stand the royals.
They've been waiting for this moment. Exactly.
Whoa.
Like, there are a million women with Elizabeth as a middle name on Kate's side of the family, too, because, like, they've been waiting for this moment. So the names of all of, like, William and Kate's kids, they apply to both sides of the family because Kate's family is so, like, basic British. Upper crusty.
I actually was going to ask that. I'm sorry if this is taking too much time. What is Kate's, like, was Kate a Diana type in that she's like, what, like, is she a normie or is she part of the, like, the system of royal in some way?
She's not an aristocrat. She is a normie. Her, like, grandfather
aristocrat,
was
aristocrat. That's the word. Yeah.
Right. Her grandfather was like a coal miner. She came from humble beginnings, but her parents became loaded through a party planning company.
Oh, I love that.
They became like the party city of the UK. And they got in on e-commerce really early. Their company was called Party Pieces, and they became multimillionaires. They are loaded. But at the same time, when they first started dating, the press would call her middle class Middleton, because middle class means something different here in the UK than it does in the US.
Whoa, what does it mean there? That's so interesting.
I know. It is so interesting to me. Here in the UK, middle class means trying to be rich. But in the US, middle class is an insult here. It's like, because they have big time tall poppy syndrome, big time crabs in a bucket syndrome culturally.
I have never, how long have you been in the UK? What are these phrases? I've never.
These are American phrases.
Wait, I've never, crabs in a bucket and tall poppy. What does that mean?
It's like, they want to cut down the tallest poppy because they want all the poppies to be the same height. And if one crab gets out of the bucket, all the other crabs pull it down. People don't like it when you get above your station here. It's like,
whoa, insecure.
It disturbs them. And that's why everyone fucking hates me here, because I'm really confident and I come across like I'm sure of myself and I speak my mind. And they're like, who the fuck is this bitch? So, like, they don't like
that's
that.
So crazy.
That's a big reason why things didn't work out with Meghan, because that's the way she is. And like, we love that behavior in the US. We raised both of you like that.
We were doing like girl power confidence stuff in the same week as the DARE programs in public school. Like, we were, as women, we were like, go break the glass ceiling, gals.
Right. But so that's why middle class here is an insult. It's like, oh, that's so middle class. Like, oh, how middle class of you. Like,
oh my God. So what do they even, they don't even consider the, like, what about lower class? They just like, they're like, put them in the working class. They're like, put them in the sewage and like, we're not saving them if it's the Titanic.
It's like the only, I guess the only like safe place to be is working class in terms of people making fun of you. But obviously rich people will make fun of poor people too. So that's a terrible point. That doesn't make sense. But do you know what I mean? Like, in the US, you don't make fun of people for being middle class.
No.
Middle class is like,
you hope you get there. There's like all these articles. I was reading one this morning that like, it's like some, I'm, this is a lie statistic, I want to say. So the statistic is wrong, but it's something like 80% of millennials, which is our age, but now we're old. So 80% of millennials who are nearing 40, so like 39, 40, 41 age people, have, I think it's like 90% less wealth than their parents had at this age.
We're dropping down a class. Yeah. We're going into like lower class or working class.
But see, I don't think that is, I don't think we're dropping down a class. I think we're seeing that the money systems are changing and that we didn't, our generation didn't play the same game as our parents and their parents, because it's just, I think psychologically, because we thought we had more.
I had office jobs for like 8 years. I didn't want to leave that. Like, I mean, I didn't like it, but like, I had a paycheck, you know? Well,
yeah. But even that, like, office job for 8 years does not equal as much wealth as your parents had at this age. Maybe your parents or maybe my parents, but like, I think a lot of our parents are like, even like my dad, like the reason I even thought I had money for 5 minutes is because in the 80s, he was a trader on Wall Street. So he was like a part of the boom, the financial boom. And then we were like, oh, we're millionaires. We have money. And then he kind of like worked from home and just like, you know, then we lost every penny. We lived above our means for 10 years. I have no bar mitzvah money left. LOL. But it's like, it was because like he got a gig that was in this like streamline of like, yes, everyone in America becomes millionaires. Everyone in America, like, he just played the American money game.
Greed is good.
Greed is good.
Right. But here it's like, they look at you sideways if you're trying to go up a social class. They're like, wow, what are you doing? Like, stay down here. What's up with you? You know,
gosh.
I told people that, I told some guys that am working on this project with, and if they're listening to this, I'm not mad at you, Sam, but she pissed. We were talking about food and I was like, oh, I always get these little microwave lentil stews from M&S, which is Marks and Spencer. And Sam was like, wow, that's pretty middle class. Like, I don't know if I can afford that. And I was like, it costs £3. Like, literally, that's the level of class anxiety that there is in the
UK. It's actually cooler to be working class. It's like, you're either working class there or rich. But if you're middle class, you're just like a YouTuber that's trying.
Right. And also, if you're a multimillionaire but you're not titled, they still consider you middle class.
Oh my God. Like, wait, titled meaning like royal?
Like aristocrat. Like, if you're not old money, they consider you, like, Kate Middleton's family, they're worth hundreds of millions of dollars. They are so rich. So rich, but they're still considered middle class.
That is so, you know, because at the end of the day, like, the royals and parliament, like, that's all that's the government there, right? And like, even like when we're talking about Fauci, which we'll do an expose on next episode, but it's like, what we're really talking about is just like the government doing whatever they can to like keep their money, like hold people in their place, like to make it faux pas to like create a better life for you and your children than you had growing up, to make that like, ooh, you want to make more money? You want to live better than you have been, is like so fucking insecure.
Yeah. It's crazy.
There's enough pie, everybody. There's enough pie.
And there's actually more social mobility in the UK at this point than there is in the US.
But you're not allowed to like take credit for it. You have to be like humble about mobility, but humble about it.
Yeah, exactly. So what can you tell us about Lilibet's chart?
Okay, so Lilibet is a really interesting new addition to planet Earth. I will tell you that right now. So she's a 29 degree Leo rising, which is fucking perfect.
Because, I'm so happy she's got Leo in her chart.
Well, and it's interesting because like her whole 12th house, like the subconscious, like, you know, the depth of her lineage is Leo, kind of in that subconscious, like dream space, right? But she's a 29.
Queen of the jungle. But so she's like a spiritual queen.
She's a spiritual queen. So 29 degree Leo rising means that she's like, she slipped in at like the last of the royal degrees, right? Like, or there's a lot of royal degrees, and she actually has other royal degrees in her chart, but it's like 29, like if Leo is like the most regal, like majestic, like if any sign wants to be one of the royals, it is the Leos. The Leos are like, I'm king, I'm queen, I'm, you know, that's like the archetype, right? Yeah. So she slipped in as a 29 degree Leo rising, where she was like, I don't care if I'm born in the US, and I don't care if my name was Cassandra, I'm your queen, bitch. I got that little baby queen energy. I love that for her.
Do you know what? And I love that for her as well. But one thing I don't love is something I'm seeing now. I'm in a lot of like royal Facebook groups and stuff because I am a loser. And one of the ones they were talking about, like, oh my God,
how it's your job, Molly. You're not a loser. You are a US, you're an Us Weekly correspondent, and this is your work.
You're right. You're right. So there was this one where they were talking about, like, isn't it exciting? She's eligible to run for president. And they put a picture of George III from Hamilton being like, you'll be back. And they were like,
God,
LOL. And I'm like, no. We're not doing this. We're not taking a British princess and fucking making her president. Like, we fought a war over this. We're not doing this. But also, at the same time, it's better than another reality star, unless Kim Kardashian. She would be probably good. But
like, I would love a Kim K presidency.
I'm just like, guys, we are not fantasizing about a member of the British royal family becoming president. Like, that is so weird.
Well, it's weird, but it's kind of, well, I don't know if it's gonna happen, but here's what I'll say. Okay, so baby Lilibet was born under some really intense transits, right? So what we've all been feeling, like this past weekend, if you had a crunchy weekend, and specifically with like family stuff coming up, or like old trauma or old patterns from your childhood, or just like that trigger that your parents started that you're here to break, that is what came up this weekend. Because we have Mars, the planet of like aggression, fight, war, you know, turn on, fired up, exactly opposite Pluto. And Mars is in Cancer, mother. Pluto is in Capricorn, father. So she was born with this, a real power dynamic, right? So she was born with like her drive and her motivation and her, like, her sense of like what gets her up in the morning is that at 25 degrees, like a very late degree of Cancer in the 11th house, that's fame, public, internet, broadcast, groups, right? So I do think on some level, she will grow in her life feeling the pressure of this family war that she was named for, really. I mean, she's born in the middle of a straight up, never before seen family takedown.
And
from
she
within.
Is named for the two, like, it is the Elizabeths versus the Dianas right now. Like, make no mistake. It's like, you're either with her or you're with her. And like, Meghan and Harry have clearly put their flag in the land of Diana, but at the same time, they're like hedging their bets with Liz. I mean, that is a predicament for a little kid to be born in and named after.
So she's a Gemini sun in the 10th house, meaning that she will be a very public representative of two sides of the story. She also has her Mercury. No, it's really, really interesting. She has her Mercury, basically, it's right near her sun, but it's retrograde. So her thought process, her communication style, it's going to be more reflective in general. And the North Node, you know, she's born during the eclipses. She's born between two eclipses.
I know, so you've been telling me for weeks not to manifest anything right now.
No, and do not.
These
do
two
not.
Manifested a friggin' baby. So what are the ramifications of that?
Here's the thing. They didn't manifest. Well, they didn't say like, okay, between these two eclipses, let's create a baby. Actually, this has been this is more a time when manifestations that we have been like kind of working towards come to fruition. Like eclipses are about fate, right? And I want to say for anybody listening, it's almost impossible to ever stop manifesting. Okay. Every thought you think is a manifestation, but between eclipses is not a time to start new projects or make any rash decisions. But when like a baby, for example, is born on this highly auspicious, you know, in between eclipses moment, I think she is carrying heavy karma. She is carrying a certain weight that moving forward, we're going to see play out. And like 18 years from now, eclipse cycles are every 18 years, the eclipse cycle returns. Like 9 years from now, she'll have an opposition, you know? And so we'll see where, you know, she's sort of trying to, you know, struggle against where she's from versus who she really is. But in 18 years, we're going to see a payoff. There's going to be a moment where we're like, oh, she now is aligned and like her fate is clear. To give you an example, Donald Trump was also born during a eclipse, right? Now he's even more intense because his son,
he's also a Gemini.
So he's born in this same eclipse series. Okay. So Donald Trump is a sun, moon, Mercury and North Node in Gemini as well. His South Node and his moon are together in Sagittarius. So he really is karmically an eclipse boy because he was actually born during the eclipse, right? So she's born between eclipses. So the vibration is a little bit different, but she really is here. This is a karmic. I mean, I would like to see Diana's chart. I actually don't know it well enough, but do you remember what Diana's chart was?
I know she's a Cancer sign.
It would be interesting to do the synastry between this chart and Diana's chart, yeah, because I feel like she is carrying, this baby is carrying heavy karmic fate to be a public something, whatever that might be, but it's the other side of the story. In a way, I kind of could see her running for president, because the other thing about this chart that's pretty, I mean, there's a few things about the chart that are really interesting, but you know, she has all that Gemini with the North Node in the 10th house. That's career, that's public. I think she's going to be, I mean, she is already famous, right? Yeah. Somebody starred her Instagram before some, you know, buy the domain, okay? It's her. What's also interesting is that her midheaven, meaning her legacy, is at 26 degrees Taurus, which, you know, Taurus is the Pleiades, like at the end of Taurus, the beginning of Gemini, that's the Pleiades. That's sort of like the royal star seed marking. And so a lot of times when you see people that have heavy Taurus in their chart, you included, you know, but especially at the late degrees, no offense, but especially if you have a later degree Taurus anything, there is alien royalty in your blood. That's like, ooh, Pleiadian star seed DNA.
Me?
And she has Lilith, the asteroid of fuck you systems, righteous rage, anger, sexuality, exactly conjunct, meaning the exact same place on her midheaven. So this child is going to be really interesting to watch,
yeah,
because her public persona is Lillian in Lil. She is Lil.
Oh my God. She's Lil and she's Lilith.
She's Lil and she's Lilith. It's not, they're saying it's Lisbeth or whatever. No, it's Lilith Diana. And so I would not be surprised if she came back.
Oh my God.
A real fucking thorn in the royals, the royals that are still royals side. Now, the other crazy thing is that she has her moon exactly to the degree. Her moon is exactly conjunct your boy Chiron. And it's in Aries in the eighth house. What does this mean? I know you said keep it basic, but for the rest of it will be basic. But this is
the rest of it will be basic. This is the deep dive.
And if you guys want more info, I will do classes or something. But this is really interesting. This is just for Molly.
And this has sociopolitical ramifications. So we need to do
it. It literally does. Yeah, literally. Okay, so ready for this? Her moon is exactly conjunct Chiron. What is Chiron? That ancient wound that like feels like it can never be healed, that it's like it is the most painful point in your chart. But then, especially as you age and as your Saturn returns, it becomes your superpower, right? Now, eighth house is all about, you and I both have a lot of eighth house. Eighth house is about things we keep secret, or things that we carry shame about, or things that we feel, you know, a lot of times it's inherited issues. It's issues that we inherit from our lineage that then we have to work with. And oftentimes we do it in a maybe like a sneaky way. It's a very powerful placement, but it means that you are doing things in response to, and perhaps in secret to, the people that created you and the world around you. So like, to me, her emotions and her wound in Aries, she is kind of, I don't know, if she ran for president, it would make sense to me, only because this is a chart, this is sort of like a righteous indignant chart. Like, it's the chart of someone who, on the one hand, she's going to be funny as shit. She's going to be cool to hang out with. Like, she's going to be a cool, as far as like royal children go, she's probably going to be the coolest. But she has pain up her sleeve, inherited. They named her for it, right? Mm-hmm. So she's like carrying this pain of her grandmother's story in her heart. And she's back to basically leverage this name and this power and this dynasty, this lineage that she comes from, to actually, I think, get her power back, you know, in a very primal, intuitive, impulsive way. So I think we could see a couple teenage years where she gets in a lot of trouble, not too much trouble, like Obama level trouble, though we can still forgive her. And if she ran for president, or if she randomly decided to like reincorporate into the royal family somehow, or I don't know. I think that she is a, not a troublemaker, but I think that she is going to take her story. I think it's going to hurt her deeply in a way that does, like all of our grandparents' pain hurts us deeply, right? But like the grandparents and the great grandparents that I didn't meet, it's unconscious, right? So like I might be carrying their pain because they passed it on to my parents who passed it on to me, and I don't really know. This is a child that is super conscious of the pain of her lineage and the pain of the feminine line of where she comes from. The moon represents your mother in the chart. So aside from Meghan being the mother, eighth house is like kind of karmic lineage. So she is carrying, both Meghan and Diana do have a similar story, which is that they were kind of chewed up and spit out by the royals. And so I think that this kid is going to do whatever she can, subconsciously or consciously, to get back. She's going to get back her parents' stat or her father's status. She's going to be that Diana, you know, kind of replacement that I don't think Charlotte ever could.
You're saying that Lilibet has all of these aspects of her, that she's sort of carrying Diana's legacy forward, which is crazy because she's also named for Diana. Would you say that Charlotte has the same thing, the other little girl?
Well, I would need to look at Charlotte's chart, but I do think that the fact that Charlotte is named for Diana, but still living in this monarchy and still a part of the, you know, the Buckingham Palace inner circle, I think it's a little bit weird. And I don't think it's a little bit like a sham, right? Like if they want to keep the Diana lineage alive at Buckingham Palace, then like it's not really a good omen. I mean, Diana had a pretty bad time there and her life ended drastically early, right?
Right. Also, check this out. Charlotte is named after Charles.
Oh, Charlotte, really?
Charles. So it's Charles, then Elizabeth, then Diana. It's like, in order for them to even get the Diana name in, they had to put Charles and Elizabeth first. Like, they wouldn't have been able to put Diana in without those. Because if they left out the Charles homage, then it's like, oh, you're choosing Diana over Charles. So
I think Lilibet is here for vengeance. I think she came through in eclipses in a faded karmic way with the North Node on her sun, because we are meant, when you have the North Node on your sun, we're meant, like even Trump with his North Node on his sun, whether we like him or not, we gotta watch him. We can't take our eyes off him. You know who else has a North Node sun conjunction? Todd, Molly Gaby from the Moon Yule.
Oh my
God. What a good example. Where it's like, no matter what they do, you just are like, you're doing something forward and like, we've got to keep our eyes on you. We can't stop watching you, right? So that's what Lilibet Diana has that Charlotte Elizabeth Diana doesn't have. You know, I think
that's good that Charlotte doesn't have it, because Charlotte is, you know, destined to play a minor role in the family. So, I mean, I think it would be a source of a lot of tension if she did have that North Node Sun.
And I think Charlotte's going to be fine with that. I think Charlotte's really, that's her role. She'll be like, whatever. Let me have this cushy life. I'm good. I think Lilibet is like here to fight. And as she gets older, we are going to see her. It's almost like, I feel like on some level, this media company that Harry and Meghan are starting, it's almost so that like once Lilibet gets of age, she can Willow Smith them and be like, I got it from here, you guys. Like, I'm obviously more talented and cooler. Thanks for setting me up with this like mediocre media company or whatever it is and being who you are and getting me here. I will take it from here and I will rock out on all of our past and I will make it worth it.
Cool. Well, I'm very excited to see what happens. Yeah. I love that she's Lilith Diana.
I think we should call her Lilith from now on.
I think so too. Mm-hmm. Moving on, JoJo Siwa, she was having a pride party and someone overdosed. Mm-hmm. Now, of course,
yes.
This is not funny, but it's fun.
I think it's not. Well, okay. Let's first just clear it up.
The guy is fine.
He's fine. Okay. So if he died, we might not even be talking about it.
Oh, if he died, we wouldn't be talking about it.
So we are not that tacky.
Yeah. He took a little too much acid. He's 30 years old. He's going to be fine.
Right. But I have to say, when I saw this news, I was just thrilled for JoJo. I mean, I feel like she, you know, whenever you see child stars, you know, they're pushed into the spotlight so young. She's a real talent. I mean, this bitch can dance. You know, she's really cool. And then she had this big year where she actually came out. We're not shocked. I don't know why she's not coming out of that side ponytail bow thing. That's got to come out. I'm not sure what's going on with that. I bring it up every time, but the hair bothers me so much. But aside from that, I feel like her life is sort of like just beginning. And it's like she's gay. She's with her girlfriend Kylie. She's having fun. Then the one party she ever has, it's a pride party. And then someone's ODing. It's like, you know, that not that she wanted a, you know, an OD to happen at her party, but I do think it solidifies her as a major fun ass bitch in Hollywood in a way that maybe never would have existed before. Also interesting, I'm looking at her chart. You want to know who else is an eclipse baby? JoJo.
Is she?
How interesting. As we get ready for this eclipse on Thursday, first story is about an eclipse baby. Second story is about JoJo was born on the exact eclipse. The North Node is at 29 degrees Taurus and the Sun is at 28 degrees Taurus. So she is both Lilibet Diana.
I know, it's such JoJo, a mouthful, Lilibet.
Both Lilibet and JoJo, we've got to keep our eyes on them from now moving forward because they are both carrying heavy fate in their charts. They are meant to be leaders for us moving forward. Maybe we should all get a side ponytail and ruin our hairlines. Perhaps I'm just the dinosaur here.
Yeah, I love JoJo Siwa. I used to be very perplexed by her because I was very freaked out because she was like, you know, she was in her later teen years and she was still acting like she was 7 years old. She first came onto my radar when she had that little collab with Northwest, who I'm also a huge fan of. And huge fan of North. Also probably carrying some kind of cool karmic shit. But so I was freaked out by JoJo. Yeah, I was freaked out by JoJo because I was like, what? This is weird. She's too old to act like this. I get it. Like, make your money. But what the hell is going on? Now that she's come out, now that she's having this big pride party, now that she's got a public relationship, she's growing up, she's coming into the next phase of her celebrity. And I think it's really fun and great. And I think there is also, I mean, how funny that she was already like the rainbow girl and like now she's gay and like she can make rainbows her brand in a different kind of cooler way. So
well, that's where it's like, she's got, I mean, she has a huge amount of planets in Taurus, which on some level, it's like, we think she's moving. Like, okay, for example, why is her hairstyle still the same as when she was seven? Because Tarns do not want to change. Tarns do not want to, if you tell a Taurus to do something, they're going to do the exact opposite. So everybody in her corner is like, JoJo, the hair. And then she's like, I do it my way, right? That being said, you know, she has her Venus, her Lilith, her Mercury, her Sun, and the North Node all in Taurus in her chart. So it's almost like, from a faded perspective, she's kind of like, she's like an embodiment of New Earth. And that rainbow being her brand from the beginning, it's like on an intuitive level, like nobody knew, there, it wasn't a conscious thought, but they were like, no, this is, she is like, she's pride from day one, whether she was gay or not. She is like pride of New Earth. And I feel like it just is like, honestly, it's like an argument for subconscious psychic, you know, movement in the right direction. It's like, no, the rainbows is such a beautiful coincidence. I love that for fate.
And also something cool about her is she's a totally new type of star who is not beholden to the old forms whatsoever. She is probably the biggest like former child star right now, I would say. She's got a huge following, and none of it is with a movie studio or a TV network. It's beholden to social media. But the thing about social media is if you get beef with one platform, and she's not going to get kicked off. She's not Joe Rogan. You know what I mean? She's not doing anything controversial.
Yet.
I mean, that would be fun.
But I don't think she will be though. She's a real, I mean, her chart's actually similar to yours. She's opposite you. Her moon's in Capricorn.
Oh, wow. Is she just like a lover? She's not going to do controversial stuff because she's the opposite.
Well, I think she's going to do a lot of, I don't think she's going to do a lot of controversial stuff. I do think it could get controversial. Like, I think if it came out that low-key these pride parties were happening all the time and it's actually like a,
she could be Marianne from True Blood. Like, she's just
gathering,
which is a maenad, which is the bull, which is Taurus. She's gathering everyone together, and she's just letting them rip. And, you know, guy might have OD'd a little bit. He's fine. But JoJo's not ODing, because that's another thing about Tauruses. Remember from my presentation that I learned, Tauruses can kind of handle it. They don't really go off the rails. So happy
to
see
JoJo. In fact, we actually encourage Tauruses to crunk. Because the Tauruses that we found that were not crunk were actually like dictators and like evil, like agents of like societal harm.
So
keep it crunk, Taurus.
Yeah, everyone with a lot of Taurus in their chart, go, you know, rip a shot.
Party on.
Alec Baldwin and Hilaria Baldwin are starting a parenting podcast. Now, this is interesting because, for several reasons. The first reason for me is that this is the first thing Hilaria has done since her little Spanish escandal.
Her hilarious expose of that she grew up in Boston, actually.
Yeah. So that was,
I mean, I love that. I think that's one of the funniest things to ever happen.
It was so good. And it was the best timing. That should be taught in media studies courses, because it was the purgatory week between Christmas and New Year's, and it was in a pandemic. So there was nothing to fucking talk about. And all of a sudden it comes out that Hilaria Baldwin is Rachel Dolezal-ing her Spanish accent. Like,
right, we were dying for this. Whoever, how did it come out? Do you remember who outed her? I think it was a TikTok person,
right? It was a woman who, was on Twitter, and it was crazy because this woman had a lot of receipts, and she had compiled all the evidence, and she was an anonymous Twitter user. She doesn't use her real name. She's got a great Twitter feed. She has a lot of followers. I still follow her, and she put everything together.
Maybe she'll do the pod.
Oh my God, we should try. And she put it all together, and she was like, when are we going to talk about the fact that Hilaria Baldwin has been faking a Spanish accent for 10 years. And then it turns out there were other people who had mentioned it on the internet before. If you looked in different like gossip pages and stuff, people would be like, I don't think the accent's real. And then everyone would be like, no, stop. But so then a bunch of other people tried to take credit for the reporting, but it was this girl on Twitter. I'll try to find her name. But so,
you know, I want to say, if you girl on Twitter, if you want to come on and remain anonymous, you can just use a black screen in your Twitter handle. We can keep you anonymous, but we would love to hear from you.
And we can use one of those voice changing apps too.
Yes. We will make it sound like you're like a smoker that's using that fucking box, that throat box.
She had to go quiet, private on Twitter because people were being so mean.
Do you know the Spanish were like, no, she is one of us.
No, the Spanish were not like that.
Some Spanish people,
Spanish people weighed in and they were like, the name Hilaria is ridiculous. They were like, no one is named Hilaria. It's so funny that she picked that name because they were just like, it's such an old fashioned weird name that you just wouldn't have if you were her age. But so,
well, it's like, right, because her name's actually Hillary and she's from Needham.
Right, exactly. So the other funny thing about this is, so parenting podcast, they've got six kids plus Alex got another one, Ireland. Mm-hmm. And he wants, you know, one of the biggest stories is that he called her a thoughtless little pig in a voicemail that got leaked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of my favorite dad rants that was captured.
That was wild.
So mean. So very mean. Yeah.
Like, to get called a pig by your dad, like, sucks. I actually met Ireland once, and she's really fucking funny. She's funny and cool.
Oh, I bet she's coolest. Those are two of the coolest parents you could possibly have. I mean,
yeah.
Kim Basinger and Alec, for whatever volatility exists, they're one of my favorite couples ever. I love them, and I love that they had a child. And, of course, she's cool and gorgeous and funny.
She's so cool. You just wouldn't even know that she had, like, Hollywood actors for parents. She was so
cute. Yeah, that's how she comes across. She comes across as, like, very actually someone that you'd want to hang out with.
Yeah, exactly. And I totally forgot. I interviewed Hilaria Baldwin for The Observer.
You did not. Tell me everything. Did she have an accent? What was, oh my God, can you send me a link? Is that still like viewable?
So the headline.
Mom, you're famous.
I'm not famous, unfortunately.
Yet.
I just stalk famous people. So the headline was amazing. The headline was "The Thigh Gap is Dead." And it was all about this new trend in New York with upper crusty people of not wanting to be a size zero anymore and wanting to get fit. And Hilaria was one of the people I interviewed. And she was so fucking nice. She tweeted my story. She still follows me on Twitter, which clearly she doesn't look at her Twitter because if she did, she would have unfollowed me.
Maybe she'll do our podcast.
Oh my God, I would love that. And she was so nice. And like, I'm not saying she's not nice, but I'm also just like, it's so funny to have a fake Spanish accent. It's just funny.
It's a very funny. I mean, I love that interview clip when it came out where she was like, what is it called? How do you say in English? And it's like cucumbers. So cucumbers. It's like, yo, Hilaria. Hilarious performance.
Also, Spanish for cucumber is concombre. It's like literally the same thing.
She just like couldn't remember what a cucumber was called. It's, and like, it was easier to pretend like you weren't having, like, she was like either like stoned or her like took too many, mood stabilizers that day or something. And she was having a brain fart.
Yeah, she's just short circuited. Like, all you have to do is say the Spanish word for cucumber in an American accent and you basically have it. Like, there's
and
no,
also, like, for you to know both, she has no excuse.
Well, apparently her Spanish is really good.
A lot of people in her family are there. Well, actually, no, a lot of people in her family aren't from Spain. Actually, they moved to Spain in retirement. Yeah. And then she like adopted that as her character in this life. And now all of her children have like Rafael, Alonso, Leo. All of the kids have like super Spanish names that you have to say in an accent. Like it's either mozzarella or mozzarella. All the kids are like Rafael. Like if you said any of the kids' names in an English accent, you'd be like, wow, you are ignorant. So she's like actually baking Spanish accent into her family moving forward, even though it actually did not originate with her family of origin.
That is so true that she's baking it in. What a great way to put it. She is inculcating the Spanishness. And it's as if my sister started speaking with a British accent because I live in London.
That's right.
And like, named
actually, I visited Molly a couple of times and I felt that really at home then. And now I go there twice a year and I feel like I've adopted, that's a horrible accent, but I've adopted it. You know, it's confusing about the UK because there's actually different versions. It's like, I got to get more specific, you know?
It's really hard. There's so many different accents.
Molly, since being with you there, I understand now that that's my home and I belong there. And so I will speak that way and let everyone know I'm from there because soulfully, on a soul level, that's where I'm from.
That was closer. Okay. That was like a latter day Victoria Beckham sort of vibe, I would say.
Right. Well, that's my, there's Adele again. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Okay. So what do we think? What can you tell me? Can you tell me anything about their charts? Really quick. Yeah. We don't want to spend too much time on their charts.
Well, I mean, I would be interested in your guesses only because, like, I love when you just tell me your truth about what you feel about people.
Okay. The only guess that I have about Alec is that he's got Aries in there somewhere because he is a chaos merchant. Mm-hmm. And then with Hilaria, I think she's got some Leo somewhere because obviously she's got great hair and she clearly wants to be in the spotlight. Like, it is such a wild choice, like, to start a podcast not 6 months after you had this enormous scandal that was the top story on every website. Like, just don't start the podcast. You're already rich as fuck. Like,
yeah, but I think it's actually a genius move because even if we all only listen to one episode, we all will listen to one episode just to hear how strong her fake accent is.
Oh my God, you're right.
I think she actually teed us up for this. Like, she's like, oh, you want to hear me speak? Okay, I'll speak it to you. And like, it would be so funny. Like, I feel like she could mess this up so bad. Like, every other week she could have a different, but I was in España like a few weeks ago and so now I am Spanish again.
And then she'll be like French next week.
I just like, I can't wait till she's so comfortable on air that her boss.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
An accent comes out.
I was just going to say, would you die if she's like, Alec, what are we doing about the kids?
No, I literally think she's, take the car, take the kids, park the car, get the kids, having a good time, run them around, bring them back by midnight, and, you know, then we're having grits for dinner. I don't know, grits is not the right thing, but we're having steak and potatoes for dinner.
We're having Dunkin' Donuts for dinner.
Go to Dunk's, take the kids to Dunk's, you know, I think, yeah, party. We're going to have a big party for the kids.
Pour a Dunkachino on your cereal, Leo.
Right, exactly. Like, I want her to really show us her true colors now.
Yeah. Okay, so did I get either of those right? And like...
Okay, so you are getting so good, Molly. My pride for you grows every episode. Alec is... Aries' son.
Wow.
Yeah, Aries' son. Now, he is interesting because he's a full moon baby, so he has a Libra moon, which makes sense as to why he wants all the kids. Cause like he wants to be the like, you know, primal out there famous father. But at the end of the day, his heart is really in connection with others and family and kind of like him having a big family that he has to kind of balance out or in whatever way, I think is his fantasy. I think he's happy as a clam with her. And I think that, yeah, she's giving him the epic to be an Aries son with all those kids but have your moon in Libra. Like, he needs someone exactly like her who's just going to actually handle the day-to-day with all those kids so that he can like say that he is the father. And I think he wants to do this podcast as much as she does because I think he wants to be known as that famous like father type. And I also think he's doing recon for that horrible Ireland phone call.
Yeah, and he also already has a really good podcast with NPR. He's really good at it.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's great. He's truly one of the greats.
He's just such a good entertainer. What about Hilaria? And then we'll move on.
Okay, so Hilaria, woman after our own hearts, she's a Capricorn sun. And she is she's a Capricorn sun and she's an Aquarius moon. So number one, when we're looking at someone who has this kind of like thirst for fame and thirst for, you know, she does really want it. She wants to be famous so bad. She wants, it's because her sun and her moon are in these really advanced, you know, these are, that's the, that is the eldest earth sign. That is the eldest air sign. So in terms of her sun, she just wants us to know that she has prestige. She has status. She is famous. She is ambitious. But that Aquarius moon, the reason that she, like, she was unscathed by the scandal. She doesn't really care what other people, as long as she stays famous, she's fine. She'll broadcast whatever, whenever. Aquarian moons, we've talked about this a lot. They're a little bit emotionally removed. And for Aquarians, any press is good press. She could even take credit for this scandal in a way that, you know, after the fact, you know, I don't think she ever actually wanted it to come out, but I do think now that it's come out, I think she could totally spin it to be like, yeah, I was doing it for fame, or like, yeah, I thought it would make me, because like,
now she's from Staten Island.
We actually find out she's not even from Boston, right? She's actually from Staten Island, but would never want us to know that, right? But no, I think that she's like definitely on a soul level, sort of an alien from, you know, Aquarian moons are all kind of like, Aquarian sun and moons are kind of here from the other planet. They can be pretty emotionally cut off or stiff. They don't really care what other people think. They just care that other people think about them. And they care that they're having an impact, like a global impact in whatever way. So I think this makes perfect sense for her. And I think, you know, she doesn't have Leo in her chart, but I think that Aquarius sun, I mean, that Aquarius moon, she is sort of like the mother for all, like, because Aquarius and Leo are opposite of each other, right? So her version of like performance is by popping out a bunch of kids. That's very Aquarius moon.
Wow, love that. And since she's a Capricorn sun, I do feel like obviously she is this mother to the nth degree because she's got a million kids and she's always pregnant, but she has a fatherly energy to her, if that makes sense.
100%.
She is like the, and Capricorn is the daddy sign. She is like the spokesperson of the family, even though she's the less famous one. She is constantly like issuing statements about the family. She is like, you know, peacocking around like a proud father, even though she's the mother. You know what I mean?
100%. Really? And Alec, I actually think that they're a great couple. Like, even though they have, so technically their sons are square, meaning that there could be like an ego conflict, but their moons are in beautiful harmony, right? Like when we have two air moons together, you know, he's a Libra moon, she's an Aquarius moon. It's almost like they're plotting either telepathically or just on an intellectual level about how to work both of their cardinal leadership energy. Yeah. She has no problem being known as the daddy for Baldwin or she's fine. She doesn't need to be the reason she's famous. She just needs to be famous. And so that square actually plays out really nicely because they do have different, I mean, he is probably not, I mean, I also think if I'm looking at her chart correctly, I think part of why she wants to do a podcast with him is because she also wants to show that, like, and we're a real family. Like, he's not just like so famous out there, you know, fucking around and doing whatever. Like, no, he is a part of this. She wants to be a family for show. I mean, truth be told, she must do 90% of the work in that house, aside from just the help that I'm sure that they have, right?
Yeah,
you cannot
exactly
have seven kids and like all of them under five.
But he
and
does
not
look like he gives me mom energy. Like he gives mom energy. Like he just seems like he silently goes about his work and does what he's supposed to do. And then he's the support to her in a way. So, yes. Okay, Hilaria is a feminist icon.
Well, it's
and
like he's
good
the
together.
Support to her. He's the support to her, but without him, like part of his supporting her is also just staying famous.
Right. Because that's what she needs. Wow. Well, she found her perfect match. His perfect match.
They actually are a match.
Come on our podcast, Alec and Hilaria.
Would love to have you.
My favorite thing to watch when I'm sad is Alec Baldwin on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. It's the most satisfying tri-state energy start to finish. It just sounds like you are at a deli in New Jersey overhearing two dads
behind. Oh, I gotta watch. I gotta watch. Is he? Where is he from? Is he? He seems more Long Island than Jersey. But
he's Long Island. He's Long Island.
Yeah, but he's our people.
Him and Jerry Seinfeld, Massapequa. Yeah, Long Island is just Jersey sideways.
No different.
And they think they're better than us because the Hamptons is there. And it's like, the fuck? The whole island ain't the Hamptons.
And honestly, if you actually want to have a good time, hit the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, 100%. And not pay $30 for a vodka soda.
Right. And you don't have to, like, know that you're going to be in traffic. It is such a farther drive to the Hamptons. There's always traffic. It is, and you have to dress up. I can't.
Yeah, just be a dirtbag. Be in Jersey.
Also, the new season of The Bachelor starts tonight.
Oh, shit.
Bachelorette. We could watch just so that we can speak on it.
Oh, maybe I will. Love Island is starting soon, too, though.
I've never seen Love Island.
It's really stupid. Like, it really is stupid. But, like,
I am stupid. If nothing, I am stupid.
It's a good way to hear all the regional accents of the UK. You will hear.
Well, you know, that's what I'm really working on. So that would help me. Yeah. I'll watch that for my acting purposes. I do think we should watch The Bachelorette because it is clickbait.
Is it? So it's a girl with a bunch of boys fighting over her. First of all, that doesn't happen. That's
well,
like.
That's why they have to manufacture it on television.
Right. It's like the Bridget Jones Edge of Reason where she has the baby and these two hot, age-appropriate white-collar guys are fighting over who's going to raise this 40-year-old woman's baby. Get the fuck out of here.
That's why it's cinema.
Right. Like, let me just watch Lord of the Rings. Let me just get some fire-breathing dragons to make it a little more realistic.
And honestly, if you're on a date, Lord of the Rings is much easier to fuck to than any of the Bridget Jones.
That is true. That is definitely true. Legolas.
The best sex background of all time.
Okay, so maybe I'm going to see if I can access The Bachelorette in the UK. So Emily Ratajkowski posted this photo of herself in a bikini, which is from her bikini line, which I've always said, why would you ever buy a bikini that you saw on Emily Ratajkowski's body first? Count me out.
It must literally only go up to size 2. It must start in the negatives.
Right. I don't even want to remember that Emily Ratajkowski exists when I'm in a bikini. And if you find me, I will throw my drink on you because that's hateful. But so she posted this picture of her in the bikini. She looks amazing. She's holding her son and she is not supporting his head. And everybody's freaking out because she's not supporting his head.
This reminded me instantly of the Britney Spears with the baby on her lap driving photo. I was immediately jumped back to that moment.
Right. So M. Rada is a smart lady. She's a student of pop culture as much as she will never admit it. She does visual references to past pop culture icons. She knows what she's doing. She knew this photo. I'm sure she's supporting the baby's head. I'm sure he's fine. She did this so that she can write a personal essay about it for
New York Magazine. Could not agree more.
And everyone's taking the bait. And then I saw this one person who was like, the problem isn't the way that she is or isn't supporting his head. The problem is what she looks like in a bikini. And I'm like, okay, it's time to touch grass. Even though I just said the same thing, but I'm not actually mad about it. You know what I mean?
Well, but also like anybody that's actually mad about it. And what we're saying too is that we're just jealous. Like,
right.
We don't hate the way she looks in a bikini. We love the way she looks in a bikini. She looks awesome in her bikinis. I mean, her body, the fact that she's even that svelte after pushing that big thing out of her uterus is insane. She was so, I want to say though, her whole pregnancy was so chic. She somehow, like, what she's doing, like, blazer open belly shoots, and it's like the belly doesn't even register. She's like Emily's pregnancy is like a signpost for all of us about how to dress post-pandemic, because we all are pregnancy fat with or without child. And she really actually made it very chic and slim to be pregnancy fat.
She did. She did make it chic. I mean, she's an alien. If you are comparing yourself to Emily Ratajkowski with any sort of like real brain cells, like if you're actually doing the math on that, you're already in clown town. You know what I mean?
100%.
You just can't. Just stick to like Kelly Clarkson, you know, Google what Kelly Clarkson looked like after her baby. And if you're around those parameters, don't beat yourself up ever, but like, don't compare yourself to Emily Ratajkowski.
No, no. I mean, her little job is to stay fit and thin.
Right.
That's what she's known for.
And she is so sexy and feminine that her abs are labia. Her abs look like labia.
That's hilarious, Molly.
Like, none of us are going to reach that level. I am a man compared to that.
Emirata has labia abs. You heard it here first.
She just radiates sex and femaleness and femininity. She's got giant boobs and 2% body fat. Not even.
I wonder if she's actually good in bed, though. Like, I feel like oftentimes these women that just, like, radiate sex, like Kim K, Emirata, I feel like that is different than actually being erotic. Like, I think they radiate sex visually, but I don't know if in bed there actually would ever be, like, in order to have fun in bed, you got to be down to look ugly and smell bad. You know what I mean? Like, good sex is gross, actually.
I know what you mean, but the thing is, Kim K looks erotic. Emrata seems erotic. I feel like she's got that it factor. She is so comfortable in her skin. She is so confident. I don't think there's a thing you could say. I'm sure she has her off days, but I think in general, there's not a thing you can say to rumple her. I think she really is like real deal, like sex symbol icon, Brigitte Bardot status. I do think she is Emrata.
That's great. Yeah, if anybody's had sex with Emrata, please write in. We want to know how it was for you.
Yeah, that we won't read it on air,
but we're just genuinely curious, like, just from our little snooper's point.
Yeah, I love her. I think she's great, and she's really smart. She's smart. She's doing this to get a personal essay out of it.
Yeah, when I saw the picture, because that's also the first picture in the shoot, and the rest of the shoot is more normal. Although I will say, in her whole Insta feed, she does look like she hates the baby.
You think so?
The way she's holding it in every picture actually is really awkward. And her, I mean, maybe it's part of her aesthetic. I don't know if we saw her smile that much before the baby or before the pregnancy, but every picture she's like dowdy, like,
oh yeah, she wah, never wah. Smiles.
But that's just her look. She just looks miserable as part of her thing.
Yeah, she does. She doesn't.
Are you on her feet, though? Look at the one where she's holding that baby like this way. It's like, I don't think that's how you hold the baby either.
But she's a mom. She knows how to hold her baby. Right.
But I think the fact that in this slideshow, the one that she just posted that people are so upset about, that baby photo where it looks like she's just like the baby's hanging like a potato sack. And that's first for a reason. This right. is an attention seeking. The rest of the pictures, she's holding him normally. And I'm sure the baby's fine, right? He's not that young that his head's not bobbing backwards. I mean,
exactly. He's fine. She knows what she's doing. She's his mom. Like, no one, and anyone who is getting angry about it is just showing how, like, they actually hate women, I would say. I agree. Deep-seated internalized misogyny. And I think,
or also, they're like mad at their mothers because they're like, my mother held me wrong.
No, you know what it is? They're mad that she looks so hot and she has a baby. That's really 100%. What they're mad about. 100%. And they're like, this is what I can couch my anger in. Like, oh, this
picture. Yeah, but she did that. No one knows. She did that on purpose because they're going to hate her anyway. And right, this will lead to a think piece.
This will lead to a think piece. And she disabled comments. And like you said, that photo was first. Like, she knew exactly what she was doing. Fair play to you, Emrata. I really like this Versace mermaid top that she wears in her next photo.
I know. It's very cool. She's very cool.
I can't look at her for too long, though, because, again, it's just not fair.
Yeah, I mean, she is, like, in terms of proportions, just, like, I would be curious, like, her whole life. I mean, she must have just been thin and pretty her whole life. Like, this looks like a metabolism thing. Like, it doesn't even look like she's, like, heavy dieting. It looks like this is just her body type.
Right. She also, she wrote an essay called Baby Woman or something, because that's what her dad used to call her because she developed so early. I guess her family was very, like, open with, you know, not being fucking awkward like most families. Like, her dad was, like, open. He openly would be like, oh, like, you have, like, a woman.
It hits on you.
Yeah, like, not in a creepy way, just in, like, a emotionally mature way. And, like, she wrote about how her parents felt like they had to, like, protect her because she was so developed at such a young age and everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, okay, some
you want to guess her sun and moon?
I know I already guessed a Leo wrong, but I think she has a Leo in her. And I think she has I think she's got some Aquarius because there is a level of galaxy brain to her. She's playing us all like a fiddle right now with this photo. She knows how to do it. She knows, like, she knows that she's so good looking that it pisses people off. She fully mm-hmm. gets it, and that doesn't bother her. And she's like accepted that as her thing.
100%. Okay. So first of all, in terms of modalities, like earth, air, water, you're nailing it. Okay, so M is a Gemini sun. Actually, her sun is basically exactly on this upcoming eclipse, so it'll be interesting to see what happens for her, what the fallout or what the, you know, this could be the day the article, like the article could come out next week. I mean, she knows what she's doing. Her moon is in Aries, which is part of why she's just like, I mean, it's also because she's fucking gorgeous, but she does have that I don't give a fuck attitude, and that's because she has an Aries moon. But she has her Venus, her Mars, and her Jupiter all conjunct, meaning in the exact same place in Leo. So you're right, she has a huge amount of Leo in her chart, and her Saturn is in Aquarius, so her life's work is basically to work the internet.
Wow, love that. And mm-hmm. she's doing it well. She's too short mm-hmm. to even really, like, obviously she's an incredible model, but like, if it wasn't for her knowing, being so savvy with marketing herself on the internet and everything, I don't think she would have really had that big of a modeling career because she's short.
Well, and the power of Gemini is the power of like story and being the other sort of version of the story. So her sun and her Mercury are in Gemini. Her moon is in Aries. So she's like driven to tell us the other side of the story, or to be this, like if she's the kind of person that if you said you can't to her, she'd be like, but I can, and watch me. She's very motivated by showing us that like, it's not the story you think.
Yeah, that's cool. And that is totally exactly what she's doing. And sometimes, you know, she did go through a phase where she was like, it's feminist to be super hot. And it's like, well, it's also other stuff. And like, sure.
Right.
But it was also like, you're a feminist. You are, for sure.
Right.
But like, right. It's not just like free to be hot. It's not like free the nipple's not that important, you know? So I can.
It's not that important. And also being hot is not that, like being objectively hot, like the way that she's hot is not that common.
Right. It's not like the thing that we're all fighting.
Right. Right.
We're not, right. Like, we're not all wearing.
She doesn't need the government stipend for plastic surgery. I'll tell you that.
Exactly. She's exempt, and she doesn't. We're not all wearing pussy hats because we're like, we want to be in bikinis with our children on Instagram. Like, that's not the whole thing. But I like her. Yeah. I like she kind of can equivocate on both sides, which obviously mm-hmm. can get Geminis in a lot of trouble, but it can also make them galaxy brain. So that's cool.
100%.
Now, just to wrap up,
Mary, there is one other thing, though, before I want to say, do we want to touch on Ellie Kemper?
I feel like it's over.
Yeah, maybe. She does apologize. It was basically the same thing as, like, the Rachel Corcoran. Like, I should have known, but I didn't know. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm not that mad at her. I feel like, yeah, she just grew up in this weird, fucking creepy Midwestern. I mean, the Midwest is weird. People are weird from the Midwest. I assume that everyone I met from the Midwest was the queen of love and comfort or whatever the fuck it was called, you know?
Right, right. I mean, honestly, people in Connecticut are weird too. So I do feel like, yeah, there's just all sorts of like white bread faction pockets all across the United States. And yeah, if there were kids that grew up in that way and made some weird choices because that was the environment that they fitted in, you know, as we discussed, Friends was also pretty homophobic. So, you know, hopefully we all evolve into a higher loving state, and we forgive you, Ellie, LOL.
Yeah, we forgive you for being the KKK princess, but we don't forgive you for being rich and going into comedy, because that's not fair.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
That's the real problem here.
Let me see your stand-up, Ellie. Yeah, yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I will leave that in. Okay, Mayor of Easttown.
Okay, what did you think?
Okay. I thought the show was very well done. The writing was really great. The acting was great. I did feel, so for people that don't know, I was born in Delco and I lived there until I was 8 years old. The Coco's cheesesteak they talked about, that was my every Friday, my school had Coco's pizza. Like,
wow.
I'm from there. and my whole family lives there. So I moved to Jersey when I was 8, and then I continue to go back to Delco multiple times a year for holidays and everything. And like, I went to like my cousin's school dances with their friends and stuff like that. So like, I feel like this people may question my Delco authenticity since I did move away when I was 8, but moving away from Delco,
kind of like those are years you remember though. It's not like you were like 3.
I was formed. I had a Delco accent when I moved. I noticed the huge differences between Delco and the Jersey Shore where I moved. Huge differences. And
what were the biggest differences?
Well, so when I lived in Delco, now this is what I want to talk about with this show. That the big issue for me with this show was like the art direction, the wardrobe, and the beauty styling. That's what bothered me. It was like they were doing poor people drag. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, yeah, everybody did look particularly dumpy.
Everyone looked like shit. Mm-hmm. No one had makeup on. Mm-hmm. No one had their roots done. I'm sorry. Class women are on top of their hair and makeup. Like,
yeah, but I also think like what a perfect time for a pandemic theater. You know what I mean? Like they probably all were looking kind of like this anyway. You know, like it did look like we all look right now.
Yeah, but it's not about that. It's about working class people. And it's like that.
Oh, you're saying like working class people actually spend money to look better.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Working class people aren't walking around like Charlize Theron and Monster. Like working class women, give me a fucking Delco bitch to do my makeup before a woman from the Upper East Side any day. Any day. Rich ladies don't know how to do makeup and hair. Because they don't do it themselves.
Right.
That's what pissed me off about this. The one girl, Jess, her mom had scrunched hair and she had a full smoky eye in every scene. I was like, yes, that is it. That's Delco. That is a Delco woman because she takes pride in her appearance. Like people who are working class are not like looking like shit. I'm sorry. It's such an offensive thing to think. And here's the other thing that really cracks me up is like statistically middle America, which is supposed to be what this is kind of a depiction of, like, yes, it's Delco, but it's supposed to be like, ooh, we're HBO, we're the elite network and we're slumming it in middle America. They did the same thing with True Detective. It was like in New Orleans. Everyone looks like shit in the wrong way because in middle America, everyone's overweight. It's just a fact. It's statistically more likely to be overweight. But these actors, they're dedicated enough to not wear makeup, but they're not dedicated enough to gain the weight. And that's what's so fucking funny to me. Because
Well, except that what's her name did, Kate did, and I read an article where she said that there's a scene where her belly pops out, and they said, like, Kate, roll it back, we'll tuck your belly in. And she said, no, Matt would show her belly.
Yeah, she really thinks that's impressive. No, she's already skinnier than most of the population of the world. Yeah. Not just of middle America, of the world. Like, yeah, for
she's
an actress.
Great. She's awesome.
Yeah, for an actress, she's not like super skinny, but in the grand scheme of things, she is skinnier than that character would be. Yeah. I didn't see a role anywhere. She also said in that interview with Maureen Dowd, my skin was too luminous and they had to fix it in post. Shut the fuck up. Like,
don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
You don't want to know about your flawless skin, bitch.
Like, you're also like, come on. You're not Naomi Campbell. Like, you're Kate Winslet. Like, we know what you look like. We're looking at you. The jig is up. Like, we know. So it just pissed me off because I'm like, okay, if you really wanted to depict middle America, working class America, everyone would be heavier. Sorry, just a fact. Everyone would have on point makeup. Everyone would have style. Everyone would not look like this normcore poverty porn that they dressed them in.
Like, yeah, it was very like OxyContin vibes.
It was like work boots and like a camo army jacket. No one wears that. It literally was like an art director from the Lower East Side's wet dream of what working class looks like and had nothing to do with real life.
I want to say, if you're listening to this podcast and you're from Delco, Molly really sees you and she sees how hard you are working to stay fly. She does not think that you are the dump truck that this show made you out to be.
Right. People in Delco, they have style. They have an aesthetic. They have, like, I don't care.
So they all are doing, like, nail art.
Right. Like, they fucking look good. They're putting in effort. And the other thing is, like, the interiors, I'm sorry. Every room had fucking wood, wall-to-wall.
It was all wood paneling. Yeah, it was all wood.
I was like, Roseanne ended 30 years ago. Like, that's not the poverty aesthetic anymore.
That's funny. How would you have set dressed poverty in Delca?
Like, bright, basic Pinterest wall art.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Because, like,
like IKEA, like art from IKEA.
Yeah, or Target. You know what I mean? Like, it would be like Live, Laugh, Love, maybe, but it would have style.
Yeah.
It would have an aesthetic. It wouldn't be this, like, busted ass 1970s throwback. Like, I just
very 70s. It felt like a period piece, but it wasn't.
It felt like so the showrunner is from Delco. And I would be really interested to hear his thoughts on this because
maybe he wants to be on the pod. We're open to you.
Oh yeah, 100%. Maybe he's like, oh, I saw what Stranger Things did. They did, you know, sort of this nostalgia look at being like working class in middle America. But
Stranger Things took place in the 1980s.
Exactly.
It is a period. Right. It looks exactly the same in terms of art direction. But right, Stranger Things is a period piece.
Right. And this is supposed to be modern day. They all have iPhones. And they're the Roseanne throw blanket was on one of the couches. Literally, it was like, okay, maybe this guy grew up in Delco. I don't think he's been back.
Right. This is like what his childhood looked like in Delco.
Exactly.
This is what
childhood looked like. This is what almost what my childhood looked like. Like, no, we didn't have wood paneling. We were already past that. But like,
I mean, the only thing I can say is like, I will say the Kate Winslet storyline, if I remember correctly, they were living with Jean Smart, Helen, I guess, the mom. So maybe like they were in a grandma's house. So maybe that house has sort of like ugly wood paneling legs to stand on, but I don't think the others have any excuse.
Right. I thought I was being too critical. And then I started paying attention. And I was like, every single one of these houses has wood paneling. Every single one. The other thing, that layout of the house rang true to me where you go up the stairs and then into the living room. But I thought
that's a pretty unique thing, though. That's very unique.
Yeah. I thought the grandma was living with them because here's the thing.
Right. Okay. Yeah, maybe.
The dad, Kate Winslet's dad was a cop. Kate Winslet's a cop. Police unions are strong in that area. They would have been, Kate Winslet would probably maybe be making six figures, you know? And like,
oh, wow. Yeah.
Her dad certainly would have made good money too. So it's like this idea that like, you know,
they actually would have been like the rich people in town.
Right. Maybe not the rich people, but like they wouldn't have been. I mean, her daughter looked great. That's the one person in the show with good highlights was the daughter. She looked.
Yeah, beautiful. She looked and she's beautiful. And what's crazy is she's also British.
No way. Why do I give these jobs to British people?
Because honestly, they're the best actors.
No, they're not.
But here's why. No, the accents are so impressive to me.
That's because you're not from Delco. Kate Winslet sounded like she was from Boston.
Oh my God, you didn't. I thought she did a great job. You didn't think she did a good job? See, right, I'm not from there though. So I was like, oh yeah, water, totally.
Yeah, knowing that she's British, it was impressive, but Evan Peters nailed it. And
Evan Peters, I am so glad Evan Peters got out of the American Horror Story Ryan Murphy bubble and actually showed us some of his true colors.
And he was like
Delco and Delco.
Yeah, he was essence of Delco. Like he reminded me of like the guys that my cousins went to high school with that I would like make out with on the sly. You know what I mean? Right, he just had that presence. Like really nice guy, funny, like he just felt
cares, doesn't hate women, likes women.
Yeah. Had a suit on because this isn't a fucking like we're not this.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the art direction was condescending. That was my big takeaway. Overall, great show. Really liked it.
You know who I fell more in love with than I ever thought possible? I think I am such a Julianne Nicholson stan now. I hope that she and Kate both get nominated for Emmys. I think Julianne Nicholson has had such an, you know, she's the one who played the friend, right? Lori.
Yeah.
She's like that. She's that actor that's in like every movie. We've seen her a million times, but nobody knows her name. Nobody knows who she is. I thought this was the breakout role for her that will actually put her on the map as like a household name. Whereas she never has really been. She's always been like a side actor, like the friend or. But in this case, the friend was really ended up being the antagonist of the show. Surprise. I mean, I know, so great.
Spoiler alert. If you didn't, I'm sure if anyone didn't finish it, they've already stopped listening by now, but spoilers. So it turns out the son did it. I thought it was going to be Julianne Nicholson did it, which I thought would have been an even better like moral quandary. That's where I thought it was going in the last episode.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because in terms of the writing, you know, Molly and I both have degrees in screenwriting. So we actually know about stuff. Do you think, that would have been a more interesting moral quandary because what would have I understand at the end, Kate was a little bit fast to out the son. And I get where Julianne Nicholson's character was like, how could you, like, why don't you just let my husband, I actually feel like if I were Kate, I probably would have just let the husband take the fall because I would, like, Kate's character should have understood what it means to lose a child. That was the whole thing though, that like Kate should have understood what it means to lose a child and understood and I don't think that Julianne Nicholson's character, I do think that they played it out well, which is like when she found out, we know that in the last episode is when she found out. She didn't know the whole time. She wasn't like, you know, she wasn't being a, you know, anti-justice. She wasn't, what is it called?
Wasn't obstructing justice.
She was not obstructing justice until the very, very end. And I did think that, you know, I think that it comes up a lot, though, this cop character question of, like, where is your allegiance? Like, is your allegiance to just following the law and seeing justice served? Or can you make those because it seems like, especially in government, a lot of people making executive choices to just, like, subjectively, you know, what's up with Breonna Taylor's? What's up with Breonna Taylor's killers, guys? Like, what's going on with them? Like, let's get some justice there. You know, it's like, we're not, like, so pro-justice in this country.
Right, so, exactly. Like,
but I thought the character may have actually made the wrong choice here for the sake of her friend, but then she didn't.
Well, I thought that she should have just let the kid get away with it because, he obviously didn't mean to, and now his entire life is going to be ruined, and already his life is ruined enough. He lost his dad. His dad's going to jail.
And they set us up with this whole story about how severely painful it is to lose a son and how close these two women were. So I thought there was going to be
and
that
now
redeeming moment.
He's got an incest brother. That's fucking weird enough. Like,
right.
His life
the whole
is already
thing is like,
ruined. Like, I don't know. I thought, you know, that is the right thing to do if you're a cop. Your mandate is to enforce the law equally. But we all know cops don't do that. And how come Mare gets to plant drugs on her son's girlfriend? But,
and not let this little boy who obviously did something in complete and total accident for the sake of trying to save his family. I mean, what a good kid. I mean, not that you want to be murdering people or stealing guns or whatever, but like that kid was so, and what a gorgeous little kid. I, you know, I'm not in the least creepy way possible. I think he's got a big career ahead of him. He's beautiful. And
I thought he was
great.
Thought he was like 8 years old though. And he was 13.
Well, okay, that's what it takes to be an actor. He'll be playing high school students into his 40s then. This kid's got a real shot.
Yeah, I think so too, and I'm for it. I really like the show. I just thought that they should have had a Delco consultant on hand to make it a little more realistic with the clothing and fashion choices. Because also, and I know if anyone, this is the last thing I'm going to say about it, Kate Winslet wasn't the only one with no makeup who dressed like shit. There were many other female characters who also had no makeup and dressed like
shit.
Well,
what's her name looked horrible.
Yeah, Julianne Nicholson.
No, I think Julianne Nicholson, even though she wore no makeup, I think she is so beautiful. Like, she has that Irish look that's just like, oh, your little button nose, your little freckles. She's just effortless.
Oh,
like, fuck you, Julianne. And I think this will be a career-making part for her. So I wish nothing but good things for her. I fucking love Julianne Nicholson. But I think that, and also the daughter, she's British. This was her first, like, big part. So that's awesome. Great.
No, that annoys me. I'm sorry. We give too many parts to British people and they are not returning the favor, let me tell you. And if they
why do we do that? Sorry, I didn't say what you're gonna say, but why do we?
Because we're stupid and we think they're smarter than us because they talk pretty. That's it. That's literally
so funny.
They are not smarter than us. I'm here to tell you guys, talk about Love Island. You want to see how not smarter than us they are? Watch Love Island. Google Love Island girls talk about Brexit, and you will never want to give
a
British person again. Also, all the British people who speak all the movie roles are posh. They all go to boarding schools and shit because, like, their thing here is all about theater. Like, you have to be classically trained in the theater.
Right, West End.
So they're all already rich. Phoebe Waller-Bridge, her dad has, like, offshore bank accounts.
It's but Phoebe is one of the greats. Phoebe, I cannot wait for Phoebe's James Bond rendition. I thought Fleabag was one of the greatest things. Fleabag, like, made me want to make television again. I was like, wow. I remember why I went to film school. Oh, she's fat. And Killing Eve was incredible. The first season that she wrote, she didn't write the other seasons. They're not as good. She wrote the first season. It's incredible.
Yeah.
I think Phoebe's one of the greats, but I think she's
excellent. Manifestation of the issue. It's like, also, you know, the girl from Star Wars, Daisy, whatever, like, they're all like,
right, she does nothing for me. She does nothing for me.
Super posh sort of type people. And I'm sure the girl who played, I'll look up what this girl is. Siobhan, Mayor of Easttown. I love how
She was great, though. I thought Siobhan was really good, and I thought she was beautiful. And when you hear her speak, like, in the interview when she's talking, like, she's British.
Don't give them that much credit.
I think that's so hard. I'm so impressed by dialect changes in actors. But it is, like, I want to just say, for everyone listening and for the casting actors, there are a lot of girls in Delco who are also great actors who are stuck with this accent for life. So maybe we could give them the parts.
Exactly. That's all I'm saying. And that is going to be, she actually is Australian. She's not British.
Okay, I messed it up. Not from the UK, but Australian, even better.
But I am really surprised by that because, oh my God, she was born in 2001. That makes me want to keel over.
No, I know. She's like, we're old, bitch. She's old, bitch.
Everything I'm saying is, in a nice way, I'm joking around, whatever, British people are fine. Just give me some roles too. Give me a role that's not the American bitch. That's all I'm asking because that's
You were excellent in This Is My House.
Thank you. It was the role I was born to play, but
it really was. You knocked it out of the park.
Let me try on a Scottish accent once in a while. You know what I mean? Like, we can do it.
Well, let's see. I want to hear then more of those from you on the pod. I'm going to practice my British different variations this week. I would like to hear your Scottish next week.
Okay. I'll do Nick's accent as a sign off.
Oh. Wait, I want to say one thing about Kate Winslet, though.
Okay.
Winslet's chart, her rising, her sun, and her moon are all at the almost, she was born on a new moon rising. So she has her rising, her sun, and her moon are all exactly the same in Libra. So, like, it really is her life's work to play all of us.
That's nice.
Like, she is here to embody the people.
Well, that's good. She is one of the few British actors who's a household name who did not go to private school.
Okay, I like her for that. She also, when I was researching, since I started smoking cigarettes now, you know, I'm really, like, shamed about it, but I also, like, I get it. I love it. It's been so fun. She's one of the only actresses in Hollywood left that is a smoker.
Oh, my God. Love that.
Means a lot to me.
I definitely love that. All right. Love, you know what? She can be Delco.
Yeah. She's sort of the Delco of the UK, if what you're describing is true.
Yeah. She is. I've heard that she is actually working class, grew up working class, which is really cool. Yeah, as long as she's not middle class. Oh, yeah.
What is the Delco of the UK?
Probably like
the London. I guess the Delco of London.
Not even Essex. It would be like a suburb of Manchester or Liverpool. Because, you know, Essex is the New Jersey of the UK. The suburb of London.
It's funny. I'm from Essex County, New Jersey. Maybe I really should move there.
I know. How funny that it's Essex County. I mean, this is what happens when you let men colonize. They don't come up with any fun names for anything. Yeah. New York, New Hampshire, Essex. Like, come on.
And then it's like trees. We got maple. We got elm.
The streets are named after the fucking trees. You couldn't even come up with a street with a good name. Okay.
Space Trash Street coming soon. Yeah. Space Trash Avenue.
everyone check out our merch. We have a really fun one coming soon called Real Housewife of Uranus. And I think you guys...
Hey, you know what I was going to say about that, though? You know, Uranus technically has a ring around it. Ooh. And housewife, we could make a ring, but with a wedding ring around it.
Oh, my
God. Just a thought.
This is why we're Lennon and McCartney.
100%, bro. Yeah, we're pumping out ideas. One of us is the maker, the other is the mind. Actually, Molly's both, and I'm just like here.
We're both the mind.
I'm more of a Ringo, to be honest. I have big Ringo energy, but.
No, you don't.
Either way, we're a great team. We got a band here.
Yes. Okay. All right. I'm going to do Nick's accent. What do I want to say? I'm going to say our sign off.
Tell everybody to buy merch and to leave a review on the podcast and to come to the Moonule on Thursday in Nick's accent.
Okay. I can only do it if I start by saying babe. Babe.
That's babe. Like your version of Adele's right.
Yeah. Babe, tell them to buy some merch. Tell them to buy the merch on Etsy or Shopify. If they search Space Trash podcast on Etsy.
All one word?
All one word. Of course it's all one word. Sure, you know yourself. rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Tell a friend to listen to the podcast. Tell a friend to listen to the podcast.
That second one was way better. Yeah, that listen. That yeah, right.
Listen. No,
that's very good. Listen to the podcast.
Rate and review it. Patreon is coming soon. That's Scottish. Soon is Scottish, but soon is like Northern Irish.
So wait, what is soon in Northern Ireland?
Soon. And in Scotland, soon. It's like soon.
Soon versus soon.
Yeah, like it's
coming soon.
Soon. That's coming Scottish. Soon.
If coming I was, soon. Patreon.
Yeah, if that's I was Braveheart, I'd be like, the Patreon is coming soon.
Right. Yes, that's how you know the soon. Yeah, soon. Yeah, wow. We got to get on. We got to be watching way more TV from all over the globe so that we can mock the accents just as mediocre as the girls in Easttown did.
Yes. Love that. Okay. Everyone, have a great week.
Talk to you all soon. Oh, and come to the Moonule on Thursday. Come to the Moonule on Thursday. It's going to be so fun. It's an eclipse. We're going to talk about it.
Come to the fucking Moonule and you'll get your fortune told.
Yo, that's really, I if I didn't know any better, I would think Nick was in Braveheart right
that
here.
That was Scottish. Right. That was Scottish.
That's what I'm saying. I think that was Nick playing Scottish.
Yeah.
Because he's Nick doing Scottish.
It's fucking witchcraft and it won't be going on in this house.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.